This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Now, Paul Feinbaum.
Paul, welcome back, man. I hope you had a good weekend. How you doing?
I did, Jim. And just when you think the summer is beginning, imagine a month from today we'll be in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. Didn't want to ruin your summer, but there you go.
That's crazy to think about. It is 1 month away, isn't it?
1 month away. And you sit here and you start thinking about great moments in SEC Media Day history. And not too long ago down in Destin, you got to sit down with Phil Fulmer. And was there ever a moment that you two had to have a conversation and sort of bury the hatchet? Because I remember there was, you know, the days Phil Fulmer didn't even show up for SEC Media Days, and you were sort of caught in the middle of that whole controversy. Was there a time that you and Fulmer were on opposite sides of things and had to bury the hatchet?
Before I answer, remember the name Tommy Galyon?
I do.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened to him, Paul? Is he still with us?
He is still alive in Montgomery, I believe. I think I saw him a couple of years ago. I mean, he's one of the greatest characters in SEC history. But the question, the answer to your question is yes. For a very long time, Coach Fulmer and I were not really going to be in the same room. I'll tell you what happened. We had gone a number of years without speaking. Certainly it was his decision not to speak to me. And I believe it was 3 years ago. Or 2 years ago, it may have been 2 years ago, and when Coach Pat Summitt passed away, we decided obviously to do a tribute show to her, and I really wanted him on, and John Hayes, our producer, called him and he said, "Are you out of your mind?" And I interceded, and I just through John said, "Listen, you don't have to ever speak to me again, but I think it's important that you be on this program as a symbol of what Coach Summitt stood for and everything she represented." And he agreed. He was very cordial, and not only was he cordial at the end of the conversation, he told a story. I believe it was his mother who passed away with a similar illness, and it was really one of the most chilling moments that we had had in a very long time. And I wrote him a note, and I'm not saying that we became fast friends after that, although I did encourage when asked, I thought he should have been hired a year and a half ago as the athletic director instead of John Curry. And I think through that, we began talking a little more. And then I saw him again 3 weeks ago at Commissioner Sly's funeral, and he was extraordinarily gracious. And, you know, again, these are things which sometimes, Ryan and Jimmy, you don't even remember. Sometimes you don't remember how the dispute begins. In this case, it was pretty obvious. It began in the early 2000s with Mike DeBose, a name from the past. And it just festered. And if you were alive in that period of time listening to talk radio in Birmingham, that was the only subject going.
Feinbaum is with us, and he's absolutely right about that. Feinbaum with us each week courtesy of Crane Works, the group to call for crane and equipment rental. Just look for the big dog there at Crane Works, and they bring us Feinbaum every single week. Who is the, was there one, because doing what you've done, it's very easy to make enemies. But is there one that you made amends with that surprised you the most, where you thought, "I will never make amends with this person," and one day you finally did it and it surprised you?
Well, I mean, listen, not to steal a line from what I just said, but Ryan, we could probably do a greatest hit CD of that too. By the way, are there CDs anymore?
So we'll do a podcast, Paul. We'll release a podcast on this.
Yeah, but it just doesn't sound right. Probably the fastest turnaround ever was Lane Kiffin. That's a pretty well-known story that I went from calling from his firing and him getting fired at Southern Cal to becoming friendly with him in a span of 2 weeks. I'm thinking, there were quite a few. Bill Curry was one. I'm not saying we became friends, but we were mortal enemies 30 years ago, and I saw him not long ago, and another fairly gracious. So let me answer your question in the opposite way. And I say this because of Jim Dunaway here. There is one that I have. The only person that I don't think where I had a dispute with, where the hatchet has never been buried to the point where I think we've ever been in the same room again. Jim, you want to take a shot?
Dennis Franchione?
You got it.
Wow.
Wow.
Come on down. That was probably the most bitter, and it was really not known why we crossed paths. Jim may know, and I probably will even to this day will not publicly discuss it. But in a long story short, I called him about something very early in his tenure at Alabama, and I asked him something, and he never responded. He didn't say hello, goodbye. He just was mute. The conversation ended, and we never spoke again.
For the record, my guess was Gil Tyree, but I didn't know if that was the right answer.
You know, by the way, your answer is right.
Okay, I got that one right, too.
The reason I didn't answer that, Ryan, I wasn't sure if there's litigation still pending or not. But he is someone that the two of us had a falling out. It got to court, or actually it was settled, and we later buried the hatchet. And there's a couple. There's another one there, but I don't want to go through the annals and yearbook of Birmingham sportscasters that I've had difficulty with.
Well, Paul has taken a positive way. One guy that you always had a good relationship with, Steve Spurrier, and we had an opportunity to be involved with the Lord Wedgwood charity event at the Birmingham Country Club last night. And I know you've been involved with that before. And Rick Neuheisel did a one-on-one with Steve Spurrier, and we learned some fascinating things. Would you say he's the most colorful coach you've ever been around?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly, without a doubt, the most honest, and you guys, whether, it came across last night in living color or over the years. I mean, Spurrier, and by the way, Spurrier was at the very root of the Albert Means, Phil Fulmer, Tommy Gallion dispute, not to get into that. He was basically Fort Sumter, if you want to play Civil War history. He's the most fascinating, I think, because I've never met a coach who was as honest and is just, I mean, forget honest, brutally honest as Steve Spurrier. I can imagine that was a good time.
He said it last night, and I'm sure he's spoken to you about this before over the years, that he regretted leaving Florida for the NFL, that if he had to do over again, it was a money grab, and he even took the wrong NFL job. Do you think he would have stayed at Florida even through the reasons why he left Florida if he had to do it over again?
My theory is he would have left, Jim, and he was as burned out at the end of that 2001 season as anything I've ever seen. And he may have explained it, but to the audience that obviously wasn't there last night, I think he had the best team in the country. Because of 9/11, the Tennessee-Florida game was postponed until early December. Everything got moved back a week, including the SEC championship. And I think Tennessee's quarterback was out that weekend. And the game was in Gainesville, and Florida definitely would have won. And by the end of the season, it was an epic game. Florida won late in the fourth quarter. And he ended up going to the Orange Bowl, winning by 40 points. He finished number 3 in the country in the final AP poll, and it seemed like a bitter disappointment. I mean, it just seemed like a total failure. And I think when Danny Snyder called, he grabbed the. I mean, he would have gone anywhere. I think he was just that ready. He felt disrespected by the administration. Something had happened. I believe it had to do with Florida State, a controversy in that game. And that I've always thought that the great ones, and I'll include Nick Saban in this group, because Nick and Spurrier are the two best coaches, along with Urban Meyer since Bear Bryant, that it's the little bitty things that cause them to want to leave, not the big things, not the money, not the win loss records. But the thing that I've always wondered, and if Spurrier wasn't so impatient and impetuous. He could have, if he had waited a couple of weeks instead of grabbing the South Carolina job, remember he was out of coaching for a year, he would have ended up going to LSU and replace Nick Saban, and you tell me how many national championships he would have won at LSU instead of Les Miles.
But maybe the bigger if, Paul, and Feinbaum is presented by Craneworks each week. He shared this, and I was unaware of this, that the Tampa job was open at the same time the Washington job was open. And that was a Super Bowl-ready franchise in Tampa because Gruden came in instead of Spurrier and won it. But he says he could have taken the Tampa job to replace Tony Dungy. Now, maybe he doesn't win a Super Bowl like Gruden did.
And he brought up that Daniel Snyder just paid more money.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I just jumped at the money. Daniel Snyder offered more money than Tampa. But you wonder, if he goes and wins a Super Bowl, how all that changes for Spurrier. I mean, we may have never seen him in the college game again.
That's fair. I'm going to offer this, and you guys know how good a friend I am of Steve's, but I will tell you that when Steve Spurrier went into the NFL at that point, I think he would have failed anywhere. Because he did not have the right attitude to be a successful NFL coach. He really felt he knew everything. He could do it his way. And, yeah, he would have had more success at Tampa because that was a much better team. But he was pretty bullheaded. And he really felt like he didn't have to do the same things that all these no-name coordinators who were winning titles or going to the playoffs. And I think that was really his failure. I mean, did he have one of the worst owners? But his owner in Tampa wouldn't have been a whole lot better.
All right, Paul Feinbaum joins us each week courtesy of Craneworks. You can hear him this afternoon on Jocks 94.5. He is 2 to 6. See him on the SEC Network as well. Thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
Always a pleasure. Talk next week.
All right, man. Take
where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up. Looks long. Has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
Care, Paul.